Live to worship. Live to worship. This kind of wraps up all 10 disciplines in the Spirit-filled life. And that's what I want us to talk about just briefly today. You know, the subject of worship is so vast and broad that, you know, I'm just going to scratch the surface today on a couple basic things that I hope will help you and kind of spring you forward in the idea of worship. But what I want us to see today is, first of all, that worship should be the ultimate priority of every believer. Worship should be the ultimate priority of every believer. Why? Number one, because God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy. He's our creator. He's our provider. He's our protector. He really is our everything, whether we acknowledge it or know it or not. And then number two is, praise or worship should be the ultimate priority of every believer because it opens the doorway to God. It opens the doorway to God. And we're going to look at a few things today that verify that. But worship, and I hope you're taking notes, worship should be the ultimate priority of every believer because God is worthy of our praise, because it opens the doorway to God. You see, God designed His entry into our personal world and our circumstances to move and to be in those things. That's His design. Worship opens that doorway. Worship opens the doorway to the supernatural presence and the power of God. And His influence and His purification in our lives. As we worship God, He can influence us. He can purify us. Worship also opens the door to God-directed, Holy Spirit-anointed prayer. Too many people view worship as a part of the service rather than the point of the service. Let me say that again. I think you were sleeping on that. Too many people view worship as just a part of the service, the worship service, rather than the point of the church's existence. It's the point of our existence. It's why we exist, to worship God. Too often it becomes performance-oriented, ritualistically religious, instead of just simple love, warmth, and emotion. Matthew 15:8 says it this way: "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This is significant because everything flows from the heart. Good or bad, everything flows from the heart. And I believe worship is the key to the edification of the church. It's also the key to edification of God in our lives. Turn to John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. Begin in verse 23. I want to make that point again. Worship is not a part of the service. It's the point of the church's existence. Jesus spoke about that as He began to reveal Himself and who He is and what He expects. In John 4:23, He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit," verse 24, "and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." Some things I want you to be aware of there, and and underline in a second. But this right here is Jesus' call to the church. It's Jesus' call to the church. Notice his words in verse 23. The hour is coming and now is. It means it's time for it. It's now. It's to begin. When true worshipers. You see, God is seeking true worshipers in the church. True worshipers. Not people that come when it's convenient, come with an attitude, come just to show up and check it off their list and sit through it and listen to some music and endure the pastor's message. No, he's looking for true worshipers. True worshipers. People who worship not with their flesh or with their mind, but they worship with their spirit in truth, in a state of humble gratitude, warm emotion, and a heart of love for the Father. You see, God has always and always will be seeking people who are true worshipers. He always has and he always will. That's who he's seeking. He's seeking true worshipers. You see, a disciple, which is what this whole series is about, becoming a spirit-filled disciple, a disciple understands, a disciple responds, and a disciple pursues worship based on this principle. True worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him, the word says, must. Underline must. Must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So today, I want to touch on two issues from a practical sense. And like I said, worship is a subject that could be preached on and taught on for days and days and days. But I want to touch on two issues from a practical sense. And the first is this. Our focus. Our focus. Whom we worship. Whom we worship. That's our focus. See, we don't worship a screen. We don't worship music. We don't worship musicians or vocalists. We worship a living God and a living Savior. There's a worship handbook in the Bible. It's called the Book of Psalms. It's a worship handbook. The Psalms are writings about a mighty and a wondrous God. All through there. And in the Psalm, the writer is obviously a worshiper. Clearly active and not passive about what he's writing. In this book, in the Book of Psalms, we see singing. We see shouting. We see bowing. We see kneeling. We see raising hands, heads bowed, and eyes uplifted. We see quiet in one place, and we see exuberance in another. Listen, worship that reaches the throne of the living God can't be anything but alive. It's not dead. It's not passive. It's active, actively pursuing the God that we worship. You see, it's alive. Worship is alive. It's going beyond intellectual analysis. It overflows with joy as the heart, the human heart, encounters its creator. It's worship. Does that describe your worship? I'm not talking necessarily about demonstrations, but I'm talking about rather the attitude of the heart. When you come to church, what's your attitude toward worship? Is it passive? I can take it or leave it. Sometimes I like the music, sometimes I don't. Is it active or is it passive? Do I critique the music? Am I concerned about what's going on around me and just not focused? See, it's about our focus. Is it active? Is it engaged? Focused on the words that we're singing. focused on the presence of the Holy Spirit with an open, hungry, seeking heart for the presence of God to just fill you, overwhelm you. You know, we have intercessory prayer 2 times a week on Tuesday evenings and Saturday mornings here. This reminds me of sometimes in the intercessory prayer, you know, we spend a lot of time worshiping and at different times and reading scripture and praying. Sometimes different ones will read a scripture or two and then nothing really flows and we'll just start worshiping. We'll put some music on and we'll just worship. And just worship for several minutes. And you can just sense the presence of God just come in. And then prayer begins to flow. Scriptures begin to flow because of the worship. Worshiping Him. Worshiping Him engages Him and allows Him to engage us. And the second, so focus is important, especially when you come in here when we worship. When we break bread, the bread of the Word, try to focus. Focus on Him. Not on what's you're thinking, what your issues are, what your problems have been. Focus on Him. And the second thing after our focus is our purpose. Our purpose. Why do we worship? Why do we worship? You see, the real why, obviously, is a no-brainer. It's because God is worthy of our worship. And that's truth. That's truth. But the why really goes deeper even than that. Go back to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. Obviously, our purpose is because God is worthy of our praise. But also, even deeper than that, I want you to see how God illustrates this in the Old Testament. In Exodus 25, beginning in verse 8. I'm not going to go through all this. It's a long passage. But I'll summarize it a little bit. This is where God was giving them specific instructions on the building of the tabernacle. And he was very distinct and specific about the pattern, the furnishings, the setting, and everything like that. Even down to the Ark of the Covenant that was to be placed there. But in verse 8, actually, it won't be on screen, but I want you. This chapter opens up with these words. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. So these instructions are God's words as they were spoken to Moses. Verse 8 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I will show you." That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you'll, so shall you make it. In other words, I'm going to tell you exactly how to make everything. Exactly how to make everything. And he goes on and he starts going into detail. How to set up the Ark of the Covenant. He talks about the gold. He's talking about making poles out of acacia wood. And overlaying them with gold. And exactly how the Ark is to be carried. And he goes through this. And he talks about the cherubim on each side, facing each other, overlooking the ark. And then he says in verse 22, or let's look at verse 21. "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you." And 22 says, "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children. There I will meet with you." Our purpose for worship is to meet with God. To meet with God. Worship is the means by which we enter into His presence. And it's the means by which He is welcomed into our midst. He told him exactly how to set the tabernacle up, the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, then I will meet you there. I'll meet with you there. And you know what? Of course, today, the tabernacle is here. This is a tabernacle. But even so, it requires worship. It requires worship for him to be manifested in his presence. Worship is the means by which we enter into his presence, but it's also the means by which he is welcomed into our midst. It's the means by which he's welcomed into this tabernacle, this place that we come to worship every Sunday or Wednesday or whenever it may be. The discipline of worship calls each of us to understand the power of praise. I did a series a couple of years ago, a long series on worship, 6 or 8 weeks. And one of the things that I was specific about there is how the power of praise, the power of praise. Praise drives out demonic elements. It has the power to drive out the demonic that comes in here with people and with things and with just all kinds of ways. It drives them out. I shared not too long ago, or some time ago, about Pastor David Youth at First Baptist Orlando shared a testimony on how he had gone to one of these third world countries, I think it was Zambia, and he was ministering in a village, and the pastor said, well, we're going to go down here and do an exorcism later this evening. And he said, well, gee, can I come along? He said, oh, yeah, you can help us. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but I'll just watch. And he said they went into this little hut, and they gathered around in there, and there was someone there reading scripture, and they brought these ladies in. They were obviously demon-possessed, all kinds of things going on, and placed them in the middle there. And then this team came in, marched in worshiping. You could hear him coming, he said. And they just came in and encircled them and just praised and worshiped and praised and worshiped. And things begin to happen. One lady began to roll and convulse and blah, 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 and on until there was a calmness and a peace there. And all they did was worship. Think about that. An exorcism took place in 3 people just by worship. So I say that to say this, there's power in praise. Worship, get this point, worship is a means of invoking the presence of God. Worship is the means of invoking the presence of God into the joy, the pain, the hurt, and the hope of our present time. Of our lives, of our situations, are in Zambia, in the lives of demon-possessed people, are even here. Worship invokes the presence of God. You see, that's what happened in that little hut in Zambia. The presence of God was invoked by the power of praising Him and who He is and worshiping Him. It's power. Psalm 22:3. Psalm 22:3 says this, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In other words, what that says is God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Worship team, come on up. God inhabits the praises of His people. You know what I heard this morning? I was glad that the Lord changed it up this morning as I was praying and doing some studying in my office and going over the the message. I'm glad he moved that video to the front, because I think it evoked something in us. For the first time in a long time this morning, when I stopped singing, which I don't do very well anyway, I don't sing very well, I stop very well. But when I stopped, I just turned my head a couple of ways. I could hear y'all for the first time that I can remember in this building. I could just hear your voices. So I know that must have had an impact on you. And that's God. That's how He works. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to keep me knowing what to do. But just hearing your voices, not being able to hear just the worship team, but hearing you guys out there. And it just, man, it just went through me. So I can't imagine what it does for God. That's what He wants. He wants it. You don't have to sing well. That's why the scriptures, He knows everybody doesn't sing well. That's why He says, make a joyful noise. Because you know what? Sing from your heart. That's what He wants to hear anyway. He doesn't want to hear lip service like we read in Matthew. He don't just want us to give Him lip service, but our hearts are far from Him. Sing from your heart. Sing from your heart. And as that video reminded us this morning, I'll ask you again. Is this the first time you worship this week? And will it be the last time you'll worship Him this week? You see, it goes beyond just here. This is the warm-up. This is the warm-up. This is the stirring. This is the teaching. This is the receiving. This is the preparing. But then Monday comes. We go to work. We go home. Kids, jobs, bills, people. Do we keep worshiping? Or do we just worship here and drop it? You see, it's more than just worshiping Him in praise in the tabernacle that we call the tabernacle, the building. You see, the tabernacle now, when Jesus came, the tabernacle became this, these bodies we move around in. And so I ask you, are you worshiping in the tabernacle, wherever that tabernacle goes during the week? In your car, are you just worshiping Him? Those pictures, gas station, grocery store, work, are you worshiping Him? Do you mention Him to anybody? Good questions. Let's pray. Let the Lord contemplate with you in your heart today. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. For those are the ones that God is seeking. God is seeking true worshipers. True worshipers. Are you a true worshiper? Are you worshiping in spirit and truth? Are you a Christian this morning? See, the only way you can worship God in spirit and in truth is to have His Spirit in you, which comes when you receive Christ as your Savior, when you put your faith in Christ as Savior. And so I ask you today, I encourage you today, when I ask this question, I'm encouraging you. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, would you? Would you do it now? Would you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? Would you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? Would you confess with your mouth today that Jesus is Savior? It's called faith. Would you ask Him to forgive you of your sins today? Say, Lord, forgive me. The Bible says if we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you ask Him with your heart to forgive your sins, He will do it. He's wanting to do it. He's pleading by His Holy Spirit today for you to receive His Jesus as your Savior. The Lord is speaking to you today. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let yourself go. You don't have to understand it all. Just have faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus. Lord, we thank You today that You are a God, the one true God who is worthy of our praise. Thank You, God, that You designed our relationship to be generated, to be cultivated, and motivated through worship. And we thank You, Lord, that we can gather and worship You corporately. We thank You that we can worship You in the car or the truck, in the field or in the house, in the grocery store, on the street. We thank You that we can worship You anywhere, any place, and any time. But God, we're reminded that we are to worship You in spirit and in truth, not in flesh and in mind, but in spirit and in truth. So God, help us today. Help us, Lord, today to open our hearts, open our faith to Your Holy Spirit. Allow Your presence to permeate us, that we can worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for Your word that is truth. Thank You for Holy Spirit that teaches us truth. And we thank You, God, for the act of worship. And we thank You that worship brings Your presence to us and brings us into Your presence. We thank You for the power that is in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision today, maybe if you gave your life to Christ today, would you take that connection point that's on your bulletin and make sure you tear it off and fill it out and just check that? I want to encourage everyone to fill out that connection point. We need to keep our records updated so we can communicate properly with you, but also that you can give your prayer requests that are prayed over by several different ones each week. And just to keep in communication of what's going on with you and what the needs are in the church, so we can properly prepare and plan as we go forward in vision to serve the Lord. Maybe you made a decision watching on live stream by internet today. Go to our website. Tell us the decision you make. Send an email there. share with us on that website. If you gave your life to Christ, we just want to give you some information about walking with God and how to get on a good, strong journey with Him. And so, ushers, if you'll come forward now. And again, I just want to remind you, if you're visiting, if you're a guest here for the first time guest, if you'll just take your connection point to the welcome desk out front there by the doors, we just want to give you a gift of our appreciation and thanks for you being with us today. Okay, praise the Lord. It's tithe and offering time.